you're tuned in to Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
The results are in.
What is it, doctor?
Well, you're crazy.
What do you mean?
What do I mean? What do you mean, what do I mean? You know what I mean. You 100% certified, restraining order grade, chronically crazy. Is this news to you?
Well, no.
Mm-hmm. I didn't think so.
Why you got to be crazy? Your face is fly, your body looks tight, but something right in those eyes. After the club, the smoke has cleared. Why you acting weird? You know who you should hide. You're crazy. You're crazy. Hide. You're crazy. You know you're crazy. Hide. You're crazy. I asked your friends, you can't keep no
man. Hey, beautiful people. How y'all doing out there?
Hi, Paul.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, guys. I am Paul Wharton, and this is the Paul Wharton Show. Listen, don't touch a thing. You were in the right place at the right time. So that was my song, Hide, You're Crazy. You know you're crazy. Hide, you're crazy.
I love it.
That's me.
Oh, wow. I love it.
You didn't know that?
I had no idea.
Oh, that's catchy.
So the voice you hear there is my sidekick, my homeboy, the host with the most, Mr. Darnell Perkins. Hey, Darnell.
Hi, handsome. How are you, my love?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Fantastic.
And also in the studio today, we have Miss Ricoy Clark. I love her. She is a fabulous event producer.
Hey, everybody.
And I played Hide You're Crazy because, you know, entertaining in the summertime can be stressful.
Yes.
And I want you to be able to hide your crazy. So I'm going to bring you some tips today with some of my friends that really know how to entertain. Also, you have not been to a backyard barbecue until you've been to Penwa's house.
Really?
Ooh. Have you ever heard me talk about Penwa?
Of course.
The official Penwa on Instagram. She is bad as hell.
Oh, really? Looking her up right now.
Ooh, let me tell you something. Have you ever seen anybody grill king crab legs on the grill?
No.
What?
Huge shrimp. The shrimp are so big. Oh, I just can't wait to get her on the phone. So we're going to talk. Penwa's going to share some tips on how she entertains at home. And then later we're going to be joined by Mikhail Chowdhury, who is a guy I really admire. He's a business partner of mine, but I really admire him because he has really mastered breaking out of the box.
Yes.
You know, he's all things. He's a lawyer. He's a producer. He's a writer. He's a musician. And he balances it all really well. So we're going to talk about all of that today. But first of all, what's up, Darnell?
How are you, Paul? How are you, my love? Everything is well?
Everything is wonderful. You know, I knew we were going to talk about entertaining over the summer. And I thought, well, who better to talk about entertaining than Darnell? You, to me, are a born host. You're a born entertainer.
Oh, my God. Absolutely. I appreciate that. But, you know, entertaining is just something that you do in love, and it has to come from the heart. So no matter what your budget is, I believe we all can entertain our friends and give back. Even if you're having some friends over on your patio in the backyard and you're grilling some kielbasas and with some sauerkraut and mustard, I mean, it's just it's so wonderful to make sure that your friends are having a good time, and you can do it on any budget.
Well, you keep saying budget, and I'm not trying to count your coin, Darnell, but I am kind of interested. How do you look so rich when you're entertaining? Because you just look rich. Let me just put it out on the table. You look rich. Well, you should go to his house. Oh my God.
Well, thanks to my I always mention my dad, the late Milton Perkins, and my grandmother, the late Melissa Blow Perkins, who actually was a housekeeper. But so a lot of that stuff is stuff that I inherited. So I did not, you know, I just appreciated it and didn't send it all and have a big old estate sale. I appreciated the china and the crystal and the candelabras and all of that beautiful stuff. But yeah, you can entertain. I believe you can entertain on any budget. I remember my very first dinner party. I was probably maybe 17, 18 years old.
Oh, wow.
And I had $30. and I probably had maybe 40 people who had come to the house, and even though that was some years ago, but again, it's not what you have or what you are giving to your guests. It's how you prepare it, and it's done in love.
Yeah, yeah. Some of my earliest memories in terms of just having people to the house, when I was a kid, I don't know if y'all did this, but my mom would come home and I would have changed my entire bedroom around. Like, when I say change it around, I mean like moved all the furniture, hung up new curtains, put a sheet up. I mean,
oh wow,
it was completely fabulous. And then when I moved to New York in the early days, I didn't have any money, but I knew the way I wanted to live.
Yes.
And I remember every place that I lived, I wanted a crystal chandelier. And when I didn't have money to buy one, I like made one.
Oh, absolutely.
Ooh, out of what?
Oh, well, you know what? There was a light fixture that was in the room. So I took the glass off of it and it had these prongs sticking out.
Yes.
So then I went to the fabric store and I bought the crystals and I strung them together and I just made it.
Oh, wow. Absolutely.
DIY fab.
And the room was absolutely fabulous. And so there is something to your point. You know, you take what you have and, you know, you make the best of it and you take care of your things, especially the things that your parents give you. You know, you have to look through those things, and I believe in using those things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Every day. And also, you have to appreciate that type of, like, the crystal and all mm-hmm. that. You know, I do a lot of thrifting, and I do a lot of flea markets and estate sales. And now you go and there's like tons and tons of China patterns, and mm-hmm. people are just not into that anymore. I am. I love it. I love old Hollywood glam. I look at old movies on TV all the time. As a matter of fact, I prefer to watch an old movie and watch those really cinched in waists mm-hmm. with the corsets and all of that
stuff. Ah, the and final piece of the puzzle. Now I see.
and stemware.
Yes.
Stemware. I love, well, you know, you love stemware too.
I do.
But
I do.
Stemware is my thing. I love a beautiful glass.
You know what I love about the way we entertain each other? We've been to each other's homes, and, you know, we just work with what we have and we make it nice.
We don't make it nice. It is nice.
It just is nice.
I mean, you know, it is what it is. I mean, you don't want to toot your own horn, but, you know, there you do have some beautiful, beautiful dishes, some beautiful, beautiful stemware. Mm-hmm. And it just makes, you know, now you go to people, you go to their events, and it's nothing wrong with Costco. Mind you, I'm in Costco, like the little senior citizens, at least 3 or 4 times a week. Mm-hmm. But even if you go to Costco and you pick up the tray of the little turkey wraps or whatever, just don't put the turkey wrap tray
in the foil. Put it out on
just
on a nice platter.
Put it on one of your platters. Like, it's just the way you, let's put some thought into entertaining.
Costco roses are the jam for a party.
Oh,
I mean,
absolutely.
That's where I get all my roses when I do a party at home.
Absolutely. And now because, you know, people are doing their gardening and they have some beautiful, beautiful plants or whatever that you can, because you're outside, and I don't have a green thumb, but thank God for Mr. James, who has been helping me really, really create a beautiful atmosphere. And the good part about spring, summer, you can use your outdoors to entertain.
Absolutely.
And it's nothing like just being outdoors, and they have the little lights, the little like Christmas tree lights or the little string lights that you can wrap around your balcony or your terrace and wrap it around a tree. You know, and you can do that, you know, on any budget. It doesn't require a lot. Actually, it does not.
Wouldn't it be nice if you just had a nice outdoor pool in your backyard? You could walk out your door and go and jump in your pool, and it's hard when you live in the city to have that kind of, actually, don't you got a pool in your backyard? Living in Washington, D.C. with a pool in his backyard.
I do have a pool. Again, thank God for my dad, the late Milton Perkins. So the family house does have a pool. And actually, I'm not the person that jumps in the pool. Mostly, it's my friends.
I've never seen you in it.
And my
you walk around it.
You hang out around it. It's beautifully decorated.
I sit and I sip champagne around the pool. But yeah, entertaining is just wonderful. And you know what? I'm going to tell you the good part about entertaining your friends. It's like, I mean, life is so hard. Life is just full of hustle and bustle. And if you can just like show a little sunshine, like my friend Paul, like this morning, he was like, oh my God, Darnell, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it today. I said, get your ass up and you can make it. But on days like when you're really overworking and you just feel like you're stressed or whatever, it's nothing more rewarding, not going out necessarily, but having your friends to come over. And my specialty, of course, is crab cakes and champagne. Yes. That's what we normally serve.
You ever share your crab cake recipe? I've never heard you say it.
It's nothing. It's really, it's just a little this and a little that.
What's this and what's that?
Lump crab, jumbo lump crab meat. You don't want to be picking out a whole bunch of shells when you're eating your crab cake.
Yeah,
that's all.
Absolutely.
That's a secret. And crab is already really cooked, so you don't have to, you just put it on, you make sure the iron skillet is hot. I use a little olive oil. I flip it on each side, maybe two, three minutes on each side, and they're done.
Now, you make so many when you have people. I mean, you make so many. Is it excessive the way we entertain sometimes? You came over to my house for brunch, and you were like, well, how many other people are coming? But that's kind of the way I was raised, I think.
Yeah, that's the way I was raised, too.
We never want people to leave hungry.
Yeah.
We never want people to leave hungry, but I remember, you know, previous people... I don't let people bring other people anymore because you just want to make sure that, you know, that the energy remains kind of good and you don't know if the person is inviting someone and they don't really fit in what you're doing at the time. But I think we just, I don't know why we make so much of everything. Mm. But also, too, we like to give food, we like to let our friends take food home.
Well, for me, a lot of times I make a lot of stuff from scratch. And if I'm going to do all that effort, I want the leftovers.
Absolutely. And some stuff you can freeze.
Absolutely.
But there's never, like when people come over for the holidays or whatever, two key things that I think you should have that stretches. I mean, no matter if, you know, let's say it's Thanksgiving or it's Christmas or even Easter. I always do a really large turkey and I always do a ham.
Yeah.
A turkey and ham, I mean, you can entertain off of that for at least... a week maybe?
Now, do you do your honey-baked ham and then you bake your turkey?
I cook my ham.
You cook your ham?
I cook my ham and I cook my turkey. And so when you slice it, even when it gets down to the bone of your ham, but see, I'm very old school and Southern, so we use everything.
You just amuse me. I just love watching you all. I gotta get this show on air so people like we're with a video camera. This is, you got to see this person. Please follow Dee Darnell. What is it, Dee Darnell Perkins?
Dee Darnell on Instagram. And as a matter of fact, I'm hosting at the gallery on May. We're going to be doing some things at the gallery, and so it's fun. We got a lot going on.
That's fantastic. Now, the beautiful voice, the other voice you're hearing, is Ra'Coy Clark. Hi, Ra'Coy.
Hey, Paul. Hey, Daniel.
Now, I have been privileged enough to host a few events that you have produced, and they have gone over as some of the best in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
I mean, large-scale fashion shows. Did you go to District of Fashion, Darnell, last year?
It was absolutely wonderful.
Yes.
Did you do that?
Yes. She produced that.
Oh, wow. That was awesome.
Myself and Remy, my event partner, like we've been really working hard on trying to put D.C. on the map. Like, and then, of course, with the help of Paul. Like, Paul has been so amazing. Like, everyone just loves Paul. So
yes.
As soon as he comes out, it's a party.
Yes, it is a party. But you know, you don't just do big corporate events. You also have a lot of advice for people that are doing birthday parties and things at halls and hotels where you want to bring your personality to a raw space. And I really would love to get some tips from you on that. How do you take a space and give it the pizzazz it needs without completely wrecking the budget?
Oh, yes. Working on a budget is something we have done very well, especially starting out with the District of Fashion. And one thing I will say, your venue does make a difference.
Yes.
Definitely choosing a venue that is not too much heavy work for you. Like, everyone loves a beautiful outdoor event, but also people need to realize if you're going to do an outdoor event that requires tenting is expensive, and that's going to be the bulk of your budget right there. So maybe think of like some beautiful venues like outdoor patios or rooftops, or, you know, just some venues in the area that are like that can add a visual aspect with them alone, and then you're adding to it. You know, you're pulling in these pieces and you're working with these other people to help make that space even better than it already is.
What's the best way to find a great rate at a space? Because a lot of times that's a big hurdle. Mm-hmm. But what are some of your tips on finding a great space that you don't have to pay a lot of money for? Are people interested in trade at all? I mean, how can you get the best deal?
I think it depends on what the event is, as far as like the venue or finding the best rate or even a partnership with someone. You have like, if you know, you have restaurants that sometimes, you know, wanna on a slow day might need an extra boost. So I think the day of your event actually makes a difference too, mm-hmm. on finding a good rate. There are some online resources where people are not only offering up their locations, their studios for discounted rates, but also even now is a trend where you have a lot of people kind of like the Airbnb, people are offering their homes as event venues too. Yeah. So that's also has been a new inexpensive way to kind of add a little pizzazz to your event.
Yeah, you actually do that. I mean, you, one of your homes at the gallery. Yeah,
I do that at the gallery. Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. So this past weekend, I went to a wedding. I tell you, I really thought it was on Saturday, but it was really on Friday. And I was like, a wedding on Friday? And if a friend of mine, if my friend would not have called me and said, okay, I'll be there to get you at 3:00.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, you're going to be here to get me at 3:00. Well, where are we going?
Yeah.
Oh, the wedding is tonight. And so does it depend on the day of the week? Does that make a difference in pricing? I used to do event planning, by the way.
Yes, it does. There are some venues where the rate will literally double on like a Saturday or a Sunday, especially with weddings too. Weekends, especially like wedding season, May, June, you know, all these warmer weather are going to skyrocket.
Wow.
But a lot of times an event on a Monday, a Wednesday, or a Thursday will cut that price sometimes half or even more than half.
Wow.
Just because it's a slow day, but that doesn't mean the weather might not be perfect that day, or that, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean the turnout will be better or worse either. It depends on your audience too.
I want to talk a little bit about audio visual and how important that is. I was at a gala the other day, and beautiful gala, everybody dressed to the nines. You can tell these people spent some major money on this thing. And the host is like, let's watch the video now so you can see who's being honored. And it's like, like no video, nothing.
No.
So what's the deal with that? What should people be expecting to ask the person that they're working with, or how can you cover yourself in the AV area?
Audiovisual is one of the most important aspects of an event. You don't want the video cutting out. You don't want the sound cutting out. I mean, while some issues are unavoidable, you don't really know what to expect, but working with the best teams for audio and visual can help minimize that. Like, especially if you're doing a video presentation, that's why video and sound check are so important. You want to make sure the run through goes well. You want to make sure when that video guy presses play, that your video plays, especially if you're in a gallery, you have all these, you know, high profile people and everyone got dressed to the nines. Like, you don't want the lights cutting out and you don't want the video canceling the feed in the middle of it.
Exactly. So food and beverage, you know, how can people figure out how much they should spend on the food and the beverage based on how many people that they're having at their event?
That's also a timing issue too. If you're going to do an event that's around dinner time, people are going to be hungry. So you have to expect to feed them a little bit more. Now, if you're doing something, and that dinner time is usually between like that 5:30, 7:30 kind of realm. Sometimes you can get away with light hors d'oeuvres, but like, for example, the Runway Show, our event was from 6 to 10. That's like, you want to get there
that's
prime time for food. So we had to go a little heavy on the food. We wanted
nothing
to make sure
worse
people,
than having an event and a whole bunch of drunk people just stumbling around.
Oh, nope. Yeah.
Ain't got a peanut or a chip
or
nothing.
The liquor makes it, yes, you can't just only have drinks and not pad that with something. Sometimes you can get away with the light hors d'oeuvres. You know, you have some light wine, beer maybe, but as soon as you're introducing hard liquor, you got to have a little bit. You got to have some bread, something.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I agree.
So, Darnell, do you do a lot of entertaining? I mean, you've got a home, you've got a gallery, you got the pool in the backyard. I mean, you know, he's rich people, but do you?
No, I'm not. Well, you know what? I'm not going to say that. I'm going to put that in the universe. Yes, I am rich. I am the richest poor person that you will probably want to know.
Fantastic. I know very high people in very low places, okay?
And let me tell you something. You know, I just enjoy entertaining, and but getting back to what you were saying on the food and drink, I always do heavy hors d'oeuvres. Mm-hmm. I always do heavy hors d'oeuvres, and you would be surprised of the amount of food that people eat.
Consume. Mm-hmm. Oh, consume, my gosh, it is.
And especially if the presentation is good. But if the presentation is good and the food is good, I mean, they're going... But you want that. Yeah. That's a part of entertaining.
A lot of people talk about the food in Bev at their events.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
They're going to be the first ones to Instagram, oh my gosh, this food is delicious, or oh my gosh, they don't got no food.
But how come some hosts, like, they'll make crab cakes or some shrimp dish, something with crab in it, and the people take it, and they're like, can you believe she had 3 crab cakes? I hear that a lot. You're like, who am I hanging out with?
No, well, no, that happens.
It does.
You know, at the house, this just happened recently, and there was a gentleman that we had the crab cakes out on the server, and literally he put, someone brought this to my attention, I wasn't watching him. They said, you know, he just put six crab cakes on his plate. So I don't know. I don't get mad about
you
stuff like that.
You can sometimes control that.
You're crazy.
Right.
You know you're crazy.
You can sometimes control that with how you're serving the food, too. Like, are you doing buffet style for an event, or are you doing past hors d'oeuvres?
In most cases, I'm doing buffet. Oh, in most cases, you know, when you come over, or even if I'm entertaining, wherever I'm entertaining, the food is always in the kitchen, and you kind of just go in and you grab what you want.
Yeah.
So also that's a kind of class
exactly.
level too, because if the event just started at 7:00, I mean, you know there are other people coming. I mean, do you want to just eat all of the crab cakes, you idiot?
I mean, if you're going to hide your crazy, make your rounds. You do one, go mingle a little bit, come back to the table, go mingle
so
again.
So if you see the little church lady with the plastic gloves in Darnell's kitchen serving you crab cakes one at a time, you'll know why. Last tips, Rikoy, on entertaining large scale at a venue. Anything to take away for the people?
Yeah. Pipe and drape is your friend. Like, pipe and drape goes a long way. It can help break up the space in your venue. And drape it's beautiful. It's elegant. When you light it right, with some uplighting, it could really, really make an event or make an event space dramatic. So I always recommend, if you need to, you know, you want to have something hanging from the ceiling, you know, don't be afraid of drape. Don't be afraid of pipe and drape. It's all in the color. And it's all in the lighting of how you light it.
I have a question for you. Flowers. What is your thing on fake flowers?
I am not a fan of fake flowers.
And I'm so bad, because even when I go to events, because, you know, some silk flowers really look kind of real. Why do I always touch?
I am not a fan.
Why
of
do I touch?
Well,
flowers.
Listen, I give them credit if it looks real and it's extremely high quality, because there are some beautiful fake flowers now. It's not like the ones from the dollar store that
your
grandmama used to have.
So if you're going to have fake flowers, have them in areas like that people aren't going to be touching them. Like if you're going to have big, beautiful fake flowers, put them in the corners or put them in areas that are just going to add to the kind of background decor.
So not on the table.
Yeah. If you're going to have something on the table, it needs to be a real flower.
Yeah. Like, I love real flowers. Yeah. But if you can spend a lot of money on that flower budget.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, I have a little flower budget for myself every week.
Yeah.
I have fresh flowers.
I do too.
In DC, of course. Anything I have, you have to have.
Yeah. me too.
This is our own little Me Too movement. I have Me Too. Okay. But Lee's Flowers, I love them in DC. If you ever come to DC, if you're in DC, Lee's Flowers, two sisters have been in business. Their grandparents opened the store on U Street, I think in the 40s,
yes.
1949 or something like that.
It's a DC staple.
Yeah, they do flowers for my office and my house. And I mean, the prices really aren't that bad at all.
Not at all. Not at all. Lee's is amazing.
I love it. Rikoy, thank you so much for sharing your advice.
You.
Where can people find you on Instagram?
Oh, you guys can find me on Instagram at Rikoy. That's Rokuois. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, everywhere. Just look me up.
I love it. Just like Prince. Like Beyonce. Just one name.
Yep, just one name.
Thank you, baby.
Thank you.
Thank you, love.
Thank you.
So,
guys.
Darnell, what did you learn from that?
I learned, well, most of what she was saying I already knew.
Mm-hmm. Of course you did.
I did. I did event planning before opening up Darnell's. I did event planning years ago when you had to, now establishments have their own event planning staff, mm-hmm. mostly, yeah. like hotels or whatever. When I did event planning, there were, you had to go in and negotiate at the hotel with what do you call it? The sales department.
Sure.
And banquet. They call it the
right.
banquet.
People. Oh, you want ice with that? Oh, yeah. It's going to cost you.
How much is the ice?
Right.
But luckily.
Oh, you want to park the cars? Oh. We didn't know you wanted to park.
But it's just like dealing with a contractor that's doing work on your home. You got to really make sure that every I is dotted and every T is crossed. You know, they might say, well, the cabinets for the kitchen. Well, this didn't include the knobs. So really, and event planning and whatever you do, all of that has to be actually in the contract.
Exactly. Well, speaking of homes, y'all ain't been to no party at nobody's home. I don't care who they are. Like Penoise. Uh-uh. No. These people do not even know. They have no idea. Penoise?
Yes, my darling.
I told the kids about the grilled king crab legs on the grill.
Oh, yes.
And the smoke everywhere, and the shrimp, and the penwatini. Can we just talk about the penwatinis to start?
Let's talk about the penwatinis.
Everybody, stop. Pull your car over.
Oh, wow.
Stop what you're doing. You're into this, right?
Yes. I know. It's so funny. Well, it started with the brewing of teas. My dad was a chef. So then I started, growing herbs and raspberry leaves and this and that. And this is when you have nothing else to do.
Yeah.
But anyway, it starts with the brewing of the tea. And you brew the tea, then you drain it, and you let it cool. Then you add, then you build. You build what to your fruits, whatever is in season, if it's mango or strawberries, raspberries. Depends on what kind of mood you're in. And then I add my vodka. And I stir, very little sugar. If I do sweeten, usually it's like
with
a little
agave. With the
aloe,
right? Do you see
agave.
The aloe in there?
That's the healthy one.
Yes.
That's without the vodka.
Okay.
Yeah. But it depends on how cool the weather is or how warm it is or whatever. It's a feeling. You cook by spirit. I don't cook by recipe. But anyway, so then you stir it all up. But the key, it has to be deep frozen.
Yes.
It's frozen, and then you take it out before the party. Let's say if your party's at 3 o'clock, you take it out at noon and you let it thaw, and it turns almost to like a slappy or a what do you call them, slurpees?
Yes.
Like that, and that's how you serve them, ice cold, and it's just. They're divine. They're divine, and it's fruity. It's tasty. People really don't realize that it's a vodka base. And, of course, I only use the best, like Belvedere or Tito's is kind of one of my favorite standbys.
They don't realize it, Penoise, until they start speaking in tongues.
I remember when you got up to, you said, can I use the bathroom? And you kind of went sideways. Do you remember that? And he was like, wait a minute. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, why am I walking on my hands and feet? What is going on? Can we take the people, we're going to talk about outdoor entertaining with you, Penoise, because the people are mesmerized in studio. They're just like hanging on every word.
Oh, I love it. Hi, you guys.
Hi, Penoise. I'm looking forward to an invite.
Okay, definitely.
Penoise.
As a matter of fact, I'm setting up now for the season. You can never be too prepared. And that's for any, even if it's an impromptu party, you had to have it somewhere in the back of your consciousness, even if it was the year before. So you get yourself ready.
Yeah.
You know, you be prepared. And so basically, I'm just really basically setting the set. I call it the Penoise Veranda. I'm basically, putting up my tents and the seating and the chairs and the little tables. And because if no one's here, I'm out there all the time.
Yeah.
You know.
You and the baby.
Yes, Miss Zsa Zsa Mahogany Fairchild.
That's her dog.
Yeah. She doesn't know it. She's a dog.
She does not know.
No, she has no clue.
Yeah. Tamara, I want you to walk the people through. You talk about a spiritual experience. Your kitchen, to me, is a spiritual. Y'all don't even understand what I'm saying.
I thank you.
The spices, the pots. Yeah, where did you... Talk about collecting things over the years. Those pots. Tell the people about the pots.
The pots are basically, I started collecting my own. Well, being, like I said, my dad's a chef from New England, I do have some old cast iron and copper pots, but I don't cook with any pork or any meats. So I've kind of acquired my own through the years. So they, like my collard green pots, the big copper cauldron, nothing has ever been in that pot but collard greens and olive oil and garlic and spices. And you cook them very, very slow. So that's why the flavor, you understand, because your pots really basically, I have a spaghetti pot that I only make spaghetti sauce in, or sauce for lasagna or stuff like that. So basically the pots are old and seasoned and really, really good pots. If you get a pot and it burns quickly, throw it away. I turn a lot of the pots into planting pots, like in the garden.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I just drill some holes in it, and if it's a bad pot, but it looks cute, so I put dirt in it, and I plant something in, like, catalilies, and they'll just come back next year.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
Now, I was with you. I've been at your house for many holidays, but
yeah.
I was amazed, for one thing, you talk about cooking for, you know, who else is coming from? Oh, it's just us. I'm like, okay. Benoit will have, I don't know how many eyes you got on your stove, 10, 12, 16, I don't know.
It was so many. I think it's like six.
Is that it?
I think. I can't remember.
I think you turn those fires up so high, you have like two pots on one. Listen.
Yeah.
The
kitchen, it's crazy, right?
I'm going to show them pictures.
Oh, you have pictures, baby?
Yes, I've taken video in your kitchen.
Oh, my. Okay.
It's a whole thing. It's a whole
thing.
Well,
make sure I got my hair and my lashes on now. Don't do me. I won't do you dirty.
I won't do you dirty. So, Pimwa, take us from your kitchen to your backyard. You've thrown some amazing parties out there. I mean, I want to talk about menu. How do you decide what you're going to serve?
You know what? It's a taste. And it's also, like I said, seasonal. Like summertime, you always want to have cool salads. One of my favorite things is I roast this entire salmon on the grill. But I do layers. I put the lettuce down, then I do tomato, then I season that and let it sit a little bit while it's still cool, and then you build it, and the salmon is really the last thing that goes on top. It's got boiled eggs and pinoli nuts, which are toasted, and mango slices, and it's just, and you really don't need anything else but that, and I love when the weather changes, because that is like one of my favorite meals. But I, you know, summertime, you always, you know, quahogs. That's a regional thing. Clams, oysters, crab legs, lobster, things that grill up really good, and you can eat them cool. You know, potato salad is always a staple. But I'm very, you know, I'm one of them serious black people that's serious about potato salad.
Yes, you are.
You have to know what you're doing, and it's not mayonnaise salad, and it's not, you know, it's potato.
Preach, Pinwan.
Okay,
Tell these kids.
You know, they have to be cooked just a certain consistency where you can actually taste the potato, so it has to be cooked, then cooled, then peeled, then chilled, then mixed, you see, and then that's when you put in your seasonings and whatever you put in your potato salad. But it's, you know, potatoes, and that's really important to me. And I only use, sometimes you can make your own mayonnaise, but I'm a staple. And when I'm in California, it's Best's Food, or on the East Coast, it's Hellman's. And you don't use a lot of it to mix. You understand? You got to keep it light because, you know, anyway, that's another thing. I've got issues. I got more issues than Kleenex got tissues when it comes to food. You know?
You know what? But you found a way to figure it all out. But
yeah.
I've never seen anybody, when I was just telling the people that you put the king crab legs on the grill.
Oh, yeah. Never, that's something my dad taught.
How did you learn that? Where did
my
that come
father.
From?
My father, it may very well be a New England thing. I'll tell you something. I learned things, and I'm so amazed because you think, like when, you know, growing up, I thought all black kids went to Martha's Vineyard in the summer. My dad was Cecil Saunders, and John Saunders, the released slave who turned sailor, who discovered Oak Bluff. Wow. People need to know the history of the island. It's a different place now. But Daddy used to build outside grills, and he had this thing in the ground. Like him and my Uncle Norman dug a big hole in the ground, and then they put bricks around it and stuff and rocks, and then they built that with the coals and stuff. So every year, you know, you have the lobsters and you have the potatoes. Well, the lobsters was on the top first. It was whatever takes longest to cook, you put in first. So you put in the potatoes, then you put in the corn. I guess it's called like a clam bake, mm-hmm. right? You know, and then you layer it with the corn. And then the seaweed keeps it moist, and it's got to be seaweed certain, and it's wet. And I haven't figured that one out yet. I'm afraid what I might find in the yard if I dig a hole. So I'm just going to let that be. This is a different region. I don't know what could be in that yard. But that's basically where that came from. And it's a timing thing. And the taste is magnificent. And I always make like a butter, lemon, hot sauce, chipotle kind of thing to dip it in, or you know, paste it on, which makes the taste magnificent. The smoke is incredible. So the wood is important also. Like you use real wood coals, and you put in like mesquite or even wood like you may use for your fireplace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it depends on what, because different woods have different seasoning. Like there's oak and there's all different kinds. If you get a good pine, Daddy used to take like these pine needles, but it had to be from a birch bark tree or something. I'm not sure, whatever. I really wish he was here, because he was like amazing. Amazing. And I try to, whatever little tips or things that I do and use, they definitely came from my dad.
Well, I'm going to share a few of your recipes that you share with me, even though you cook, like you say, from the spirit. But I'm going to try to get the spirit to speak through you and share a few recipes with the people, maybe your salad recipe, so I can post it up on paulwhartonstyle.com.
Okay.
But, Pinwa, you're really big into comfort. You know, sometimes when I'm at an outdoor party, I am a little, either it's set in the wrong place, I'm hot. The mosquitoes are getting me, like, you know, there's not enough seating. How do you set the scene, Pinwa?
Okay, that's major. Mm-hmm. You have to think of that ahead. That's why I have a lot of fans. I have fans because it's coolant for also the bugs and the citronella. There's things that people don't realize that even they want a beautiful centerpiece. But there's certain flowers that draw the bugs. Mm-hmm. Then keep them away. Do you understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So you have to build your scene. It's like, it's almost like, well, being in the theater all these years, it's like building a set. You're seating. You have to seat so everybody's not all on top of each other and they're spread out. And if you feel like wandering over to mingle, you know, that's you know, one thing. But the comfort level, so it's audio, it's visual, audio, and kinesthetic, that's what I call it. And visual is how it's set up, beautiful to the eye. But there's a method to the madness. All the fans, which control a lot of the, what you call the no-see-ums.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you have to have on the outskirts of it, you burn your citronellas and your torches, and then you hang like, what do you call them, like field traps. They're made for horses. They're like a natural things, but there's a netting in that catches like the big flies and stuff in that. And you can release them later back into the universe if you want to. It doesn't kill them, because the sprays and the pesticides are so bad.
For us.
It's bad for us. Yes. It's bad for the environment. You know, so basically that's what you... So you put your little candles, your little citronella, your stuff. And also I use a lot of oils. I use purification. I use the thieves. I use the practitioner, a natural practitioner forever. So that's where you first start with the visual. Then audio. You've got to control your music. Pick a playlist. You understand? If you're having a party for kids, they have a party for kids. Do not mix your adult party with the kids' party.
Yeah.
A lot of people say, oh, well, so was little Pookie, he's turning four, so we're having a party. And then before you know it, everybody's drinking and playing cards. See, where
Pookie
I come
mad,
from.
Pookie mad, yeah. Pookie sad. Yeah.
You see, and where I come from, that's how the fight started. So you don't want to do that.
Yeah.
You want to set your music. You want a little bit, if you want to turn it up and party, then have a playlist for that. But basically, you just play a lot of really nice Michael Franks and, you know, jazz and grown-up stuff that you can hear yourself. So you have to be able to hear yourself at a party and talk. And if you're going to dance, then it's a dance party. Then you can blast the music or have a DJ.
I love it. And Pinwa knows a little bit about music, I'll tell you. She's a fabulous singer, and she's also married to DT of Kool & the Gang.
Oh, that's so funny. He's married to me, darling. Let's get it clear. He's married to me. He knows nothing.
Love it.
All he knows how to do is play his horn, darling. And
that
that's why
fantastic.
He lives. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. No, I started out in radio. Mm-hmm. I'm one of Sidney Miller Black Radio hosts originally back in the day when Black Radio was radio. You know, but so that's why my music. Also, I studied. I'm a singer. You know, but everybody has different tastes in music. My father raised me, sweetheart. He used to say with that accent, sweetheart, there's only two kinds of music. It's really, really bad or it's really, really good. And that's how you have two kinds of singers. Either they really, really suck or they really, really don't.
Yeah.
And that's
I love that.
So, it's basic.
So we got the yard prepped, and
yes,
we have our
the music set.
We right. have our music set. Now, the seating, one thing I noticed about being in your backyard is
mm-hmm.
it is so comfortable, and everybody always has room to sit, put their feet up, do different
yes.
things. So how do you work that out, Pinwa? What's
well, you
got to
pre-think it. You understand what I'm saying? You make little, it's almost like setting up a club. If you ever gone in certain clubs or different restaurants, it's a feng shui. I call it like a black girl feng shui. It's a feng shui thing. You know, you use your center table, and then you have your seating table where you sit around and talk and eat. Then you have little areas where you have a swing or a table that has a swing, and you can sit there and, you know, but you spread it out so everybody's not on top of each other. And you, wherever you sit, have a seating, then you have a side table so you can comfortably put your food or your drink or your phone. Then you also have phone chargers, you know, for people that need to, I need to charge my phone. I don't know why people don't have a charge battery in their bag, but whatever. So you have that. So everybody can be comfortable and stay off of your phone. That's how you learn about people. That's how you have wonderful conversations about growing and dealing and, you know, making money moves, I guess you call it,
yeah.
like Cardi B. And so that's basically you set it up. And if someone's talking, let's say, Wall Street or politics, you keep that over on the other side. You don't want to mix that with your entertainment or your people that want to getting together looking for funding to do a film.
Yeah.
That's two completely separate. Like I had a wonderful soiree here for the Paines, Senator Paine, and that was a political soiree, and the seating was different. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Because it was for people that are really about that. I'm not into politics. I'm into fabulousness, which
mm-hmm.
is, I guess, the politics of being fabulous.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to come up with a name for that. So basically, that's what you do. And, you know, and there's swings, and everybody can do their thing, and then you have people that want to smoke.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So you kind of try to get them away from the house, like away from, because people, I'm allergic.
Sure.
You see what I'm saying? So, conventional smoke, American cigarettes, are made to kill you. They're so, I mean, just the way that they grow them with the arsenic and the chemicals, and people do not realize they're not addicted to the tar and nicotine. They're addicted to the chemicals.
Yeah.
So you have to be careful about that, too. So if you want to smoke, go walk the block away. Go walk to the park or something.
Absolutely.
You know.
Pamela, I want to ask you something. We were just talking a little bit earlier with Darnell. He makes the best crab cakes. Oh, they're fabulous.
Is he from Maryland? Where's Darnell from?
He's from D.C. He's right here.
Okay, well, that's right. There you go. That's where you can get the best crabs ever.
We were saying someone was recently at his house, and the person went to the, you know, where the crab cakes he had out, and the guy put 6 crab cakes on his plate.
So, no. Right,
what then, Ma? What would you do?
I would be like, excuse me, Negro man. Okay, excuse me, honey. No, the ghetto party. No, that's not this party. Dude, who brought you?
Right.
Where did you
How
come
did you
from?
Get here? Security.
That's exactly. He would have to go. But see, you have your eye. I have my eye peeled for them. When you know, God forbid, I'm trying to get better. But that's the bourgeois peignoir. You know, if you walk in my party with a fake pocketbook, I'm already going to judge you. I'm like, okay, honey, watch her. She's, you know, those are the type that we put the crab cakes in the purse.
Watch her.
Watch her, please. Because
with that
I can't
Louis
imagine.
Vuitton.
What is your level of integrity, honey? Yeah, I'm sorry. I forgot I'm on the radio.
That's okay. You know, we love it. Everybody is gagging. Okay, it sounds quiet over here, but if you saw their faces, everybody is holding on to every single word you're saying. So speaking of the homegirl with the fake pocketbook,
how much
access
do you... I cannot. I'm sorry I went there, but I cannot. I'm like, honey, no. If you just got to take all of your money, save your money, and get yourself one good bag. I have a few bags from my teenage years. Mm-hmm. They have outlived my children. But that's what you... It's durability, honey.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about a status symbol or whatever you think it is. That's not anything. Because when you travel... See, I've been on the road since I was 15 years old. And you do not want your stuff falling apart in the middle of Heathrow Airport. It's already bad enough they want to know what these Negroes are doing here anyway. And you got to come with some fake pocketbook and luggage?
You know
oh,
what?
My. Call
so
the police.
How far do you let them into your house? You're having an outdoor party, Benoit. The people have to use the restroom. What is the plan?
I have no problem with that because I'm very, very particular about who's invited here.
Mm-hmm. But
I had one party, honey, and those Negroes were taking things off the walls. You learn.
Mm-hmm.
You learn. Yes. I mean, I had a part. That's when I lived out, like, in another part. But, I mean, the people were still on my property the next day. I was cooking breakfast for my friends, and they were like, whose party was it? Some woman and her boyfriend was out in the grounds. But that's where you be careful who you invite.
Yes.
I don't have a problem with that. If you got a PP, but you have enough room where, you know, if you get drunk, you can still pee outside. None would be the wiser.
This is true. You are one with nature.
Yes, please do. Just go home and poo-poo, though.
Yes.
Okay? If you go home and poo-poo.
Go home and do that.
Don't poo-poo in other people's houses. Oh, my God.
Right? Get your schedule together.
Get
now, listen.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
You see?
Learn
because
yourself.
When you come here, the food is so organic.
Yeah.
And you know, the collard greens alone, that might go right on through you. You just, we'll work it out. Next time I'll get one of the, what do you call, the porta potties out in the way in the back behind the trees.
Mm-hmm.
You go there and do a poo-poo. You know, not in front of your friends. Don't poo-poo in front
what
of your friends.
What about taking food home, Pinois? What do you think about that?
Well, you know what? I always make sure there's takeout containers because there's some that you just want to get rid of because they've never had potato salad and greens like that in their life. Honey, so I buy that. I remember one time, I ain't going to say nobody's name, but the child came up in here with a bag of plasticware, and it was like from Red Lobster and Fridays and stuff, and she was a friend of somebody else, and I was like, don't bring that bitch in no more, okay? But she filled up all of her containers, and it's fine because I always make a lot of food.
Do they sneak, or is it, do they ask? And what should you do in that case? The host has to offer. Isn't that right?
Well, yes. After everyone has had their fill.
Yeah.
You understand? This is not a takeout restaurant. If you want to go to Crown Chicken, go to Crown Chicken, honey. Get on the parkway and take your behind back to Newark or wherever from whence you came.
Yes.
You understand? This is not that kind of party. And unfortunately, sometimes you just have to break it down because some people have no... Listen, some people were raised and some people had to raise themselves.
Ooh, that's good. And, you're right.
Okay. And you can always tell the difference. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Very rarely do they end up here because most people that do know me, know they're very careful who they invite here, especially if they want to keep them in their lives. Like my cousin, Chris, in Boston, she was like, oh, listen, I've lost some of my best friends. They weren't your friends in the first place.
Right.
Or you were being phony, or they were being phony, but that this is where the buck stops here. Honey, don't, you know, it's not going to work here. Because the more you stay in your truth, the less you're going to need a fee psychiatrist later, which is my psychiatrist. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Really,
mm-hmm.
Stay in your truth. Because that's why these children are, I mean, that's another conversation. I don't want to get into the political science of the wellness. I'm very concerned about these young, oh, I'm so depressed. Honey, you're 15. What the hell do you have to be depressed about?
Go outside.
They're closing Payless? What, are you depressed because they're closing down Payless? What is the matter? Stop it.
Listen.
So that's basically it. You know, I don't mind sharing. Yes, you can take. Why don't you take the food that you didn't eat and put that in a container and take that with you? Because everyone hasn't eaten yet.
Right.
So you can do it that way. Once everyone's eaten and we have lots of leftovers, which rarely happens here. Okay, then you can pack up and take it home and see the neighbors or whatever it is that you plan on doing. But that is just really tacky,
mm-hmm.
period. I mean, you know, it's the difference between someone's home and a soup kitchen. This ain't a soup kitchen, honey.
Yeah, right.
And they don't let you, do they let you pack up stuff and take them home at the soup kitchen? No.
I don't really know what they do over there, but Benoit, you have one little ritual that you do at the end of your outdoor parties. Usually, you know, after nightfall, we light the candles. What are those things that you send off with the prayers into the sky? What is that?
Oh, the Chinese lanterns. I'm going to tell you a story, and this is the truth, and how this spread. My daughter, when she was about, I think, 12 or 13, her godmother passed away.
Okay, let me just tell the people. So, you know the actress Michelle Thomas?
Yes.
That's her daughter.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Yes, and I raised her, and that's why everybody loves her, because she's so fabulous. But anyway, Michelle started writing notes, putting in them in balloons, and then we would go to Grove Pharmacy, and they would fill them with the helium, and they would tie. And she said, "Mommy, if I do this, the balloons will go to the angels, and the angels will take the note to Auntie Donna or my Nana." And I told this story the first anniversary after Michelle's transporting back to heaven. I told the story on WBLS on Hal Jackson's Sunday Morning Classics. Mm-hmm. And before you know it, the whole world was letting off balloons. And then I realized they're really not good, the Mylar and stuff for the universe. But then Michelle Thomas started that balloon releasing ritual, just FYI. So now I buy the Chinese lanterns in their paper, and they're biodegradable.
I love it.
So you light them, and you send them off, and you can still write notes to the angels and your ancestors and that kind of stuff. And I usually do it on the anniversary of her birth. And the day that she made her transition, which is December 23rd, which is is very cold. So we do it usually every year on her birthday and at the end of each party to thank, you know, the universe, to thank the weather for being nice, to thank God for having such a wonderful, plentiful, you know, party, and thank God for bringing wonderful people into your life. And you send that back. That's your way of giving back to the universe. So that's that concept.
I love it. And well, Benoit, let me just tell you something. Michelle would be so proud of you for sharing your wit and your wisdom. You have inspired so many people today.
Yes.
Because
I hope
The people in the studio were hung on every word.
I love it.
Time for Darnell today. He thought he was the baddest one.
Oh God!
I look forward to meeting you, Pinwa. You are amazing.
She is amazing.
Thank
and if you,
you
want to follow
so
her,
much.
Check her out on Instagram at @officialpinwa. And you know what? And there's going to be a feature on PaulWhartonStyle.com. I'm going to get her to share her pinwatini recipe.
Yes.
And the
corn pudding, the greens, the potato salad. We forgot about that.
Oh, my God. The corn pudding. This is too good. You know what? I'm getting off this show and coming to your house.
Okay, baby. You know
you're always welcome.
Thank you, darling.
Okay, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye, Pinwa.
Bye-bye, darling.
Okay, now, everybody out there in the audience, are y'all recovering right now? I mean, it's speechless, right?
Oh, yeah.
She's amazing.
Everybody in here is like, what just happened?
Wow. I loved it. That was awesome.
She is her own spirit.
She is awesome. When you go to her house, it is... The seasonings that she has in her kitchen, the pots, I keep saying the pots, you ain't never seen no pots. I've never seen pots like this.
Wow.
The weight of these pots, and Pinwa takes a big spoon that she takes the food out of the pot with, and she uses the same spoon to open the pot. She puts the lid over there, she scoops it out, she puts the the spoon in the lid, and it's like doom, doom, doom. It's like a whole
production. I love it. I absolutely love it.
So if you aren't throwing the most fabulous party of life this summer, after Rakoi, after Darnell, after me, and after Pinwa, I can't help you.
You can do it. You can do it.
Definitely.
I love it. Now, my brother Mikhail.
Hello.
I think we kind of ran out of time. Pinwa took your time.
We'll do it later.
So next time, you know, I want to talk to you in our next episode because I want to talk to you about breaking out of the box. You know, not feeling like you have to be restricted to defining yourself as something and only following that path.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
We can do that next time.
You want to do that?
I'm always around.
Yes,
I live 10 minutes down the road.
I love it.
I have nothing else to do.
I love it. Well, listen, the Paul Wharton Show would not be possible without the support of our sponsors. The Batar Cosmetic Institute is home of the aesthetics enhancing genius Dr. George Batar and his talented staff. Metro Offices. If you're an entrepreneur that wants to take your cluttered home office to an affordable, modern, professional, fully furnished space, Metro Office is the scalable solution for you. And finally, Hungry Catering, DC's premier chef-to-table corporate catering service. Check them out at tryhungry.com/politics.